I'd like to call this meeting to order. Let the record reflect, the time is 12:03. Present at the meeting are Representative Lynn Wilson, Gatto, and myself, Chair Newman. Today we're just going to have a start the discussions, I believe, on 173. This is going to continue on through. It will be held in committee today, so we can make sure everybody gets a chance to testify later. We're getting a little start. We will have to close this meeting at 12:30 today due to time restraints from some of the other committee members. We do have a quorum. Chair would entertain a motion to move HB 173.
Mr. Chairman, I move the House Bill 173, School District Cost Differential or Cost Factors, be brought before us, Version A.
Is there any objection?
You mean just put it in front of us? You mean move to pass? Oh, I object.
No. Okay. Well, we'll have a little discussion on this then.
Okay. I mean, it's the first time we've heard it.
That's right.
And there's a lot to it. It's a big deal.
I didn't say that.
Today we'll be hearing from the Department of Education, Eddie Jeans, if we have time. Also authors, Dr. Brad Tuck and Matthew Berman from Institute of Social and Economic Research, known as ICER, and at the University of Alaska, and hopefully we'll be joined by Senator Terrio, if he has time permitting from the floor session. Just to get us started out, I've asked my staff to present a brief overview of HB 173, just an outline of where we are and how we've come to this point, and I'd ask committee members to reserve questions to to Senator Terrio and his education department and authors of ICER. So, Rex.
For the record, my name is Rex Shattuck, staff to Representative Newman, chairman and members of the Education Committee. In 1998, Senate Bill 36 passed the legislature. The bill required the Department of Education and Early Development to submit updated district cost factors to the legislature by January 15th of 2001. The department was further required to submit an updated report to the legislature at the beginning of every other year after that. To comply, the department attempted to use existing cost factored methodology to update the cost factors, but using ICER's phraseology, the results were not supported by the underlying data. The McDowell Group, who was an architect in the original cost factor, reviewed DEED's work and determined that the 1998 methodology was not usable. Subsequently, the department recommended to the legislature that the cost factors remain unchanged as adopted in AS 14-17-460 in 1998 until the new cost models could be developed. The funds were added to the FY02 capital budget for the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to contract for a new cost study, and the American Institute for Research was selected to develop the new district cost factors. In January of 2003, AIR's report was released to a joint hearing of the HES committees. During that hearing, legislators and interested parties expressed concerns about the accuracy of the data and the appropriateness of the methodology used in the AIR report. In follow-up to the hearing, AIR principals continued to respond to the many questions and criticisms of the report, but offered no revisions. In the fall of 2003, LBNA contracted with ICER to perform a peer review of the AIR study to determine three things: if the methodologies used by AIR was generally acceptable, if there was anything unique to Alaska that would make the methodologies inappropriate, and three, what alternative methodologies would they suggest. In January 29th of 2004 report, ICER concluded that while the general methodology used was appropriate, it did not adequately address the issues of teacher turnover. Further, they questioned the estimation of energy costs, and in some areas felt the documentation did not support AIR's findings. In July of 2004, the LBNA contracted with ICER to update and modify the AIR school district cost study by updating certain data, revising the teacher compensation components, using actuals rather than estimating energy costs, reviewing the travel cost index, and determining if budget categories accurately reflected full costs providing education services. A working group was formed, made of the directors of the finance and audit divisions, staffed to the chairs of, and vice chairs of LBNA, Eddie Jeans from the Department of Education, to review and report and suggest a number of format changes that have been incorporated into the final report recently released on February 4, 2005. That brings us to the bill, HB 173, version 24 LSO 644/6. The legislation is an act relating to school funding and adjusting the district cost factors. If enacted, it would amend AS 1417-460, subsection A, amending the district cost factors, bringing them in line with those published in the ICER update. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rick. May the record also reflect that we have been joined by Representative Guerra and Thomas. At this time, I'd like to have Eddie Jeans come up and see if he has any more to offer. We can ask him some questions on some of this stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Eddie Jeans, Director of School Finance for the Department of Education. Mr. Chairman, I believe your staff gave a very good accurate overview of how we arrived at where we are today with the district cost factors. I think it's important to note that this is one of two studies that the legislature contracted for, the first being the AIR report, the American Institute for Research, and then based on some peer review by the ICER group, the legislature, LBNA, contracted for an update to that initial report. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions that any may have.
And for the record, we have been joined by Representative Seaton up front here. Eddie, as we've been looking through this, this has came before the legislative body, 98, 99, 1001, 2, 3, 4, 5. There seems to be a lot of discussions on both ways of how this is going to affect this. In your opinion, have you heard a lot of different discussions on both sides of this, or does there seem to be validities to whether this, and granted, this is just your opinion. Can you speak on that a little bit?
I'm kind of vague.
What's your opinion on what you've heard about this from the people?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I'd like to say that the Department of Education wasn't real excited when Senate Bill 36 was passed with the component that required us to review and make recommendations to the area cost differentials. Quite frankly, looking at one component of the foundation program in isolation of the entire program causes problems. And now you're all being faced with how to address that. As I mentioned earlier, the American Institute of Research did a study. The results of that study were submitted to the legislature for consideration. If that study was implemented, it would actually save the state about $4 million to implement. But based on that study, there was concern expressed not only by the school districts of the state, but they were able to convince the legislature that there may be some deficiencies in that study. Hence, we had the legislature commissioned for the peer review by ICER. The legislature got their report from ICER, the peer review anyway, in January of 2004. And very clearly in the report, ICER stated that a significant piece of this, of the model, had to do with teacher compensation, that they believed that it was misspecified, and that the problems and consequence of the misclassification to the teacher index underestimated the true differences between many school districts in Anchorage. So the legislature commissioned a second study. ICER did exactly what they told the legislature they were going to do a year ago. And the results of that study are the differentials that are before you in this piece of legislation. And I'm sure you've all seen the spreadsheets, to implement the results of that study would increase foundation approximately $82 million.
Right. Now, this $82 million, 82.5 plus, this will affect an increase of all 52 of the 53 school districts, and Anchorage would not receive any of this additional $82 million?
Mr. Chairman, I want to make one thing real clear is the legislature could adopt these cost differentials and not put any additional money into the foundation program. If you do that, in essence, what the department would have to do is prorate the base student allocation. So the legislature could adopt the differentials as proposed and not provide the additional money that the department has calculated in the fiscal note that it would require to implement. When you do that, it's simply a redistribution of the existing resources. And so districts, your larger districts, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Mat-Su, would end up having to pay for that redistribution. But the way that we've been instructed to run fiscal notes and have for many years is we present to you what the cost is to replace the existing differentials with the new differentials. And based on that analysis, it would cost about $82.5 million. And every district would receive an increase with the exception of the Anchorage School District.
Representative Tom.
Thank you. Senate Bill passed when? When did Senate Bill 36 pass?
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, Senate Bill 36 passed in 1998 and was implemented in 1999.
Okay, so the cost differential study has been taken 5 years to get through.
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, as Rex pointed out in his testimony, we've attempted to do it a number of times, but you had a proposal before you a year ago. You have another one before you now. So,
I guess, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Yeah, my point is, I guess, as you continue to delay it, all you do is continue to agitate the problem out there with the cost differentials for rural communities, and I guess you can continue to delay it till it goes away, but it's not going to. And I was wondering, is there any recourse for the rural communities or the people at the high end of the differential to come back to the state and say, look, you were going to do a study, but it took you 2 years, and it took you three or four more years to adopt one. In the meantime, you know, we're way over in debt.
Maybe
probably not your answer, but I mean, it's just a comment because somebody's going to have to, you know, should answer that, because we can continue to delay this another 5 years till you get a better answer, which is never going to happen, fuel costs this year.
And just a comment from the chair is, you know, this is exactly why we're having these hearings here today, is because there has been a lot of confusion concerning the cost differential studies and the implementation of this, the AIR report and the ICER report. And that's exactly why we're here today, to try and look at some of those questions. You know, by asking those questions, maybe we can come up and solve some of those answers and continue to keep this moving forward instead of just tucking it away. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just state the way I look at this. My instincts, though I want to go through the study, are that the ICER report probably correctly states that that some of the smaller school districts have been underfunded in prior years, the way the cost distribution formula works. And so we've talked about, well, what would it cost to hold Anchorage harmless and then bring everybody else ahead? But when we talk about Anchorage harmless, this $82 million Anchorage harmless number, and I want to ask you about this, my understanding that $82 million would just bring Anchorage up to last year's level. And then under the new study formula. Is that correct? The $82 million, when you say that's what would hold Anchorage harmless, that just means that would bring Anchorage to last year's budget amount?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, I've had a problem with this term, holding Anchorage harmless, okay? The reason for that is Anchorage's area cost differential currently is 1.0. Under the cost differential study, it remains at 1.0. What's changing is the cost differentials for all the other school districts in the state. And all I'm saying is to simply implement those recommended changes, the state would have to add an additional $82.5 million to the foundation program to implement those recommended changes. I don't see that as holding Anchorage harmless.
Sure. And I agree, and I want to make sure that we're all using the same terms from now on. But am I correct that $82 million, if we distributed the money through the new cost study formula, would end up giving Anchorage the amount that it received last year under the existing formula?
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, that Anchorage School District would not see an increase in funding as a result of this cost differential study.
Mr. Chair, let me just make sure I understand the answer. Is that all right?
Certainly. Go ahead.
Am I saying this wrong? I mean, am I wrong in assuming that an $82 million increase over last year statewide, an $82 million increase to the foundation formula, if we distribute it through the formula under the new study, would result in Anchorage receiving the same amount of foundation formula funds as it received last fiscal year?
Through the chair, that's correct if everything was held at a status quo. No enrollment change. They would get the same amount of funding as they qualified for in the previous year.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, and I just want to relate to this to the committee members, really. I also agree that isn't holding Anchorage harmless. As people know from my voting record, I've been very sympathetic to what I think is the terrible plight to the smaller school districts in the state. Ones that have seen much worse cuts than Anchorage has over the years. But what I'm looking for is a way to implement the study in a way that at least brings every school district to the staffing and program level they were at last year and brings the school districts that have been really left behind ahead a lot further. And so I would hope that we would do something better than implement this in a way that would give Anchorage what it got last year, because that leaves Anchorage in about a $20 million hole or $25 million hole.
And I think I can agree, Representative Garrett, and with the Anchorage hold harmless, that would be basically assuming that Anchorage's cost did not rise that year, and I don't know how appropriate that would be. Representative Gatto?
I think Representative Wilson had her hand first. I wanted to get in the queue here.
We'll try and get Representative Wilson here. We'll help everybody out.
Looking at the studies that have been done in the past, the two studies, it's obvious, I think, to everyone that the funding has not been fair to many schools and school districts. I think we need to keep one thing in mind as we do these deliberations. We've got to remember what's best for kids, not just kids in certain parts of the state, but kids overall. And if we look at this, it plainly says that we have not been fair to some of the kids in some parts of the state. And so that's where we've got to keep it overall our thoughts. It wouldn't be fair to try to fix that without realizing that I think we have to be realistic too. Realize that the majority of the people that are in this body live in Anchorage. And so if we're going to get something passed, we're going to have to get something that's going to be something good for Anchorage, too, or it won't pass. So we have to be realistic and realize what we have to do. But we have to fix this problem because we are not being fair to some kids in this state. And so it's not something that we need to say, okay, we have to somehow, in a collaborative way, see how can we fix this so that everybody benefits. And if it's giving extra money to Anchorage schools so that those kids don't go backwards because some of the other kids are going forwards finally, we just have to look at this. And we cannot fight about it. We've got to see how can we pull this off and make it happen, because it's got to happen.
Exactly, Representative Wilson. You know, and that's some of the tricky parts about this is I think every member on this committee realizes that since 1999, when the last time BSA was adjusted, that, you know, we didn't know fuel was going to run $50 a barrel and it's going to, or oil was $50 a barrel and fuel costs are going to be what it is, which is, you know, that goes right down to getting supplies to the schools and everything, which are cost of transportation, the effects of all that, with the TERS-PERS problems that we had. And so That's exactly the question, Representative Wilson, too, is how do we make sure we do recognize the needs of some of these outlying districts and still include Anchorage in this, because they do have additional costs also. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr.
And then Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As far back as I can go back, we had what was called an instructional unit, and we thought we understood how to fund education, and then we came out with SB 36, which said the instructional unit was wrong, SB 36 is right, and then we got the AIR study, which said SB 36 is wrong, the AIR study is right. Now we've got the ICER study, which says the AIR study is wrong and the ICER study is right. This is very, very confusing. If I fast forward 5 years, we will have another study that says the ICER study was wrong. We don't know. We don't know based on these studies, as far as I'm concerned, because the newest study always seems to criticize the previous study. And so I did it a different way. Is that I walk into classrooms in big districts, and I see 35 kids in a classroom. That's what I see, if it isn't 40. And then I walk into classrooms in rural districts, and I see 12 kids. And the ICER study is saying that we need to take money from the classrooms with 35 kids and redistribute it so that the classrooms with 12 kids get more of the money. And quite frankly, I can't put that down and say that makes sense.
Committee members, I just want to put a little something in here. We have Brad Tuck, the author of the ICER report, online right now. We've only got another 7, 8 minutes, 10 minutes here that we can have this meeting available. We can have Eddie come back and try and answer this. Can we maybe hear a little bit from Dr. Tuck, on just where this went, and so that'll help us formulate some of these questions when we come back. So at this time, thank you, Eddie, and Mr. Tuck, if we could hear what you have to say about HB 173. Please state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Bradford Tuck, and I'm here at ISER at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I haven't actually seen the legislation, but I can speak to the study that ISER did. I think there were two areas in which we made recommendations that differ substantially from what AIR's recommendations were. One area was in the treatment of energy costs, and our suggestion was that energy costs be calculated based on actual expenditures as opposed to calculated on some hypothetical energy requirements model. That was our conclusion a year ago, and legislative budget and audit asked us to make that change, and we did. The consequence of that was that energy costs in general went up as a piece of the index. The other area that we thought was important to look at was in the area of personnel compensation, and in particular teachers, and to a lesser degree administrators. That is the area in which we put a good deal of emphasis in our current report, and I think that we've done a fairly credible job in terms of assessing relative cost differences for teachers and administrators. Basically, we looked at essentially something on the order of 16 or 17,000 different decisions made by teachers and administrators over the past 6 years. And those decisions related to either position or staying in a position. And based on the decisions that those individuals actually made, and controlling for a whole set of community and school district characteristics, controlling for the attributes of specific positions, and controlling for the qualifications of the individuals making the decisions, we attempted to estimate what it would cost in each of the 53 districts, or each of the other 52 districts relative to Anchorage, what it would cost to obtain and retain teachers of comparable qualifications. And those are the numbers that we built into the computation of the index. And I guess that summarizes what we did. I'd be glad, or Matt is here with me, we'd be glad to try and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Dr. Tuck. And just for all the members out there that are testifying online or through the airwaves of America, we need to make sure that we get all your testimony. If you could send testimony, any written testimony, to us so we can get it in the committee packet. We are short on time. We maybe have a couple questions for Dr. Tuck. Then we're going to have to adjourn this meeting for today. But again, try and make sure you get written testimony in it. We will be hearing and sending out notices to when we will be hearing this again, probably a week from next Tuesday, I think. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Tuck, maybe this question is too simplistic, but in looking at teacher pay, my understanding is that you determined what it would cost to hire a like teacher in various districts. And can you give me the difference between the district where the study shows the teacher could get paid the lowest and the district where the study shows the teacher needs to get paid the highest? Is it that easy? Could you give us the range of teacher pay that you find for, let's say, an entry level teacher?
It wouldn't be for entry level teacher, but the range compared to Anchorage, the greatest differential would be about 67%.
So there's a district where there's one district in the state where the teacher pay would be about 67% higher, or
that's correct.
Just and where would that be? Just out of curiosity.
If you hang on in just a second,
there's several.
There is probably two, three districts, but. The Upiat School District would be one of those.
North Slope is pretty close.
North Slope's pretty close.
Yukon. Lower Yukon.
Yukon Flats would be right in that ballpark.
Very straight. Is that what it is?
Thanks, Mr. Tuck. I appreciate it.
Very straight.
Thank you, Dr. Tuck. Representative Wilson.
Dr. Tuck, we've heard comments that if we look at how many students are in a classroom, that tells the story. Now, I know in other classrooms, there may only be 12 students, but there may be five different grades. I know that in some areas there may be only 12 students in a class, but they only have three class offerings, where in another school they have a big range of offerings that the students can pick from. So that tells me kind of that those are some of the things that we would like to fix, but we can't use those as data to make our decisions. Can you respond to that?
I guess what I can say is that it's a real problem. I'm not sure exactly, how precisely this particular study addresses sort of those micro details. Essentially, we're looking at teacher positions and in general, elementary, secondary, special ed, but not in terms of the particular size of classroom that an individual teacher might be dealing with.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Matt Berman. For the record, I'd just like to expand a little bit on what Dr. Tuck said.
Who do you represent, Matt?
I think Mr. Jeans said it very well in his remarks to the committee. He talked about the problems inherent with trying to revise one component of the foundation formula, namely the area cost differential, without looking at the whole index. And I think that's the problem we have here, the problem of class sizes and with small schools, the need to pool several grades into one classroom in the smallest communities is addressed in the part of the formula dealing with the educational unit, I think it was. It's one portion of the formula, whereas the cost differential is another portion of the formula. And so these are, I understand the problem here with trying to address one portion of the index at a time.
Thank you, Mr. Berman. And for the record, Mr. Berman is with ISER. At this time, we're going to have to close the testimony. We're going to meet again next Tuesday, I hope, if we can.
Can we make a closing comment?
Certainly, Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Having been here when Senate Bill 36 was passed and knowing the attitude of some of the makers, I don't believe that they intended this to be positive for the rural communities. Knowing the intention of 36 was a very negative bill, and I think that if they knew that this was going to be the outcome, they would never put this in the bill. And I think now they've got to figure out how to get out of this, and I think that's why they're prolonging it. And I think that at some time or another, we may have to look at it and say, look, we had an obligation back in 98, and at least starting in 2000, we should have been funding a portion of this. We're 5 years beyond that now. We're creating a lot of difficulty, I would call it, in some of these communities. And, it's self-induced. But I think somebody has to look back, see who put this in the original 36, and find out. But I know what the intent was, not positive.
Thank you, Representative Thomas. Couple quick comments, Representative Gatta.
Just a response to the previous speaker. It's very difficult to impugn motives to people 5 years ago as far as what their state of mind was today.
I'm just saying that, and I don't believe that.
And with that, we will try and we will invite Mr. Tuck, Mr. Berman, to be with us next Tuesday if we can get it together.
Hey, Eddie.
If it was going to be positive.
And that will, meeting is adjourned.
That's why they put it in there.